and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode covering all eight seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, he's come back. He's my cousin Cameron. Thanks, Cameron, for coming back to the Regal Beagle Podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, I made it back. Here I am. Hi. Hello.
Great to have you here.
Great to be back. Oh, it's just nice when you put out a pair of pants on, that you know, your favorite pair of pants, and it's like, yeah, this is comfortable. I remember these. I like these pants.
Oh, this is kind of like your favorite pair?
Yeah, well, I mean, talking to you about it is just familiar, like a pair of pants that I wear often. It's like not necessarily the show is my favorite pair of pants.
Right. Okay, right. I gotcha. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Well, I'll take it. I'll take it anyways. So I'm in Amsterdam. You're in Toronto.
Yeah.
And, the recording might be a little fuzzy just because we're far away from each other, but we trudge on.
We trudge on.
Season 6, Episode 13, The Matchmakers, aired January 12, 1982, directed by Dave Powers, written by Brian Joseph and Don Nickel. The kids think Furley's new girlfriend is only interested in his money and hatch a scheme to break them up. Cameron, what did you think of The Matchbreakers?
Oh, wow. Matchbreakers. Loved this episode of Three's Company.
You did?
Big fan. I did. I really liked it. It had all of my favorite characters, going at full tilt, giving the best they had in, you know, every way. And I was here for all of it. I was a big fan. I really, shout out to Larry in drag.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best things I've ever seen on the show.
Yeah.
It was could have been longer, but it was short and sweet. But I really appreciated seeing him in drag, and him getting hit on by a guy at the Regal Beagle was worthy of many, many laughs.
Larry was in drag posing as Furley's ex-wife.
Right.
And I think the best line of his little ex-wife routine was, "Total Rama."
Total Rama, yes.
That was the best line, I think, of the show. But yeah, you're right. I think Larry, again, steals every scene he's in.
Yeah, for sure. He's really come into this role as, like, you know, when he's on screen, he just packs a punch, but then he's in and out, and then you're left wanting more, which I think adds to his sort of, like, you know, to the mystique of his character.
His character seems to be the guy who just, like, starts fires and then just runs away.
Yeah, but he starts the fire and he's laughing. He's just laughing as, you know, after he lights it, he laughs and it's just cut to him, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's just like everyone dealing with the wake of his you know, his being there. I love the way that his character has evolved, for sure.
Furley manages to get in some jokes, especially some gay jokes. And again, delivered through Don Knotts. I mean, you can't help but laugh. I mean, they're just so funny.
I will say I was in stitches at the multiple times that, you know, he sort of landed those gay jokes. And as much as I was kind of questioning it, I wasn't anymore, because Don Knotts did such a great job delivering those lines.
Yeah, he really, really, I thought he did a great job here. And then there's Marsha Whitewood, played by Ruta Lee, who is Canadian.
Oh, a little bit of CanCon.
Yep. And guess what? She's still acting, if you can believe that.
Not. I don't believe that.
Yeah. She's still acting. I mean, this aired in 82, and she already kind of looked past middle age.
Yes.
But she's still acting. She's appeared in Days of Our Lives, and then, of course, as far back as Dragnet and Perry Mason, and she's still acting. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. I find that's hard to believe. Also, what was with I'm trying to remember if she was... She wasn't after Furley's fake fortune, but more just the building itself, right? Because the comedy was the multiple, you know, they're together, we're gonna break them up, getting back together, we have to break them up again.
Yeah.
But she at no point cared that he was wealthy, because the moment where the kids were like, oh my goodness, we need to get them back together, was when Furley revealed that she was in fact wealthy herself, which made them believe that that she's maybe not after his money, because she has money, right?
She was after the building,
which she was led to believe was his because he lied to her face, right?
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, come on. If she's really the real estate tycoon that she was supposed to be, the queen of the condos, as it was written in the paper, she would know that if you own a building, you're not the landlord fixing the toilets in the apartments, you know.
And what was the deal with Cindy? Why was she there? That was kind of weird for me. Like, I thought she was... It kind of threw me a little bit because she didn't really serve any purpose.
Yeah, well, Jenny Lee Harrison, as Terry, you know, kind of gets settled in as the third roommate, is in pretty much every episode all the way in, at least past the halfway point of this season. She's in every episode showing up here, showing up there.
But she doesn't live there.
No, she's just a visitor.
She just hangs out with them?
Yeah, where Larry is used to spin the story into another direction, Cindy just shows up to deliver a joke almost, or a
pratfall.
Yeah,
but did she deliver a joke? I don't know. No. I mean, that was maybe the one part of the episode that I could have been completely fine without, is Cindy's presence, because I never find her funny or Jenny Lee Harrison to be a good actress compared to the rest of the cast, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. She has a box kite joke that doesn't really land very well, but yeah.
Brutal. No, that was brutal.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's honestly looking back, you know, and you know, not knowing what's happening behind the scenes, it seems like the producers probably the producers were suffering from a little bit of remorse for, you know, kind of teasing her with only one season and yanking her so briskly off the show.
I mean, I think that was a good choice, but sure, I guess. Yeah.
That's the only way I could see that she's, you know, asked back. It's weird.
What did you think of this episode? I'm curious to know where this lands in your ranking of Three's Company episodes.
I have to admit, I wasn't that big of a fan. I loved the Larry appearances when he would come in. That was great for me. And I loved, of course, Furley's jokes were hilarious. But overall, as an episode, it wasn't that exciting for me, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not in my top 20.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Not in your top 20.
For you, it is?
Well, I mean, I haven't, you know, admittedly seen as many episodes as you have.
Right, right.
You know, and as many number of times as you have. But I thought, you know, aside from a couple distractions, it was a pretty well put together episode of Three's Company. And I thought Larry and Furley really held it together. Having said that, maybe you're right. Like, I felt like the kids, you know, I felt like Jack and Janet and Terry sort of operated as one person in this. There wasn't really like, they didn't really have any distinct roles throughout this thing.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like Furley and, you know, Marcia I don't know. But I thought it was a good story. I think Larry was the strongest. I think that maybe if you take Larry out, this would be a nothing episode for me.
Well, then it's not that strong of an episode.
Wow.
I mean, you're the one saying it.
I guess I am saying it. I don't know. I thought I liked it more than I did, but now that I'm talking it through with you, the only thing I'm like leaning so heavily into the scene with Larry cross-dressing.
Oh yeah, that was
fantastic. Yeah, and then the last time I put pantyhose on for you.
Yeah, that was great too.
Was great.
Well, I guess it's kind of like not a thumbs up or down from either of us.
Wow. I mean, this kind of, I don't know, is this an embodiment of the whole show? I mean, Regal Beagle Podcast, you know, we're in season 6, episode 13, and I don't know, have we plateaued here? Is this just kind of you know, Larry's great and there's this and that, but, you know, it always just kind of falls short of that. No. TV gold that, you know, where's the streaming service that where I can rewatch Three's Company ad nauseum? There's no demand for it. Why? I want to know.
I don't know. There's a demand from me for it.
For you for it. And I mean, maybe me more so now than in the beginning of this particular podcast.
There we go. But it's playing on repeat on you know, TV shows, TV channels everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like Nick at Night and all that stuff.
Oh man, I'm just having this sort of moment of revelation where this episode, The Match Breakers, is like a microcosm of the series.
No, this is just one blip.
Because I was just like smoke and mirrors, and I was like, oh yeah, I liked it. And then we sort of talked it through. I'm like, oh, I didn't like that. And I guess I didn't really like that. Oh man, I don't know.
Well, come back next week and we'll figure this problem out. I think this is just a 1 week blip that you're experiencing. So let's do it all over again next week and make sure that you know that Three's Company is the greatest television show of all time.
You gotta let that one go. I don't think that's ever can be a thing.
You coming back next week?
No, the show's the greatest show of all time.